Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
We turn our attention to 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18. I think I might have mistakenly given to our media team 8, but I think they figured it out already that I'm in 18. 2 Kings 18. I want to look at 4 verses. 2 Kings 18. 4 verses. I want to look at verses 4 through 8. New Living Translation. I believe God has a word for us. Here it is. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. The bronze serpent was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. He also conquered the Philistines as far distant as Gaza and its territory, from their smallest output to their largest walled city. Come back with me to verse number 6. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. Amen. You may go to your seats around the building. I want to talk in these next few moments from the subject, you better hold on tight. You better hold on tight. You better hold on tight. Tight. I've been talking this weekend about grip, not losing one's grip, being anchored in the faith. And we've been talking about that because of the many things that happen in society. Changing of restrictions in terms of mask wearing. Some things that were loosened up in society have now been shifted. Some things that we were thinking that was we were getting to the end of the virus, but then a variant, the Delta variant, comes up. And as a result of that, you have a new uptick in persons being hospitalized. They say that as persons are being hospitalized, the ones who are surviving are vaccinated, and the ones dying are unvaccinated. There is so much about society that goes on. New York Times Today does a minute-by-minute breakdown of what happened on January the 6th, when the previous occupant was losing his grip. And as a result, he ignites a group of individuals, rioters, insurrectionists, so that they might surge the Capitol. At that time, they say, stop the steal. At that time, they said they wanted to reverse what had been done. You better hold on tight. You better hold on tight because you do not know what's around the corner. But we do know who's around the corner. And we do know who can give us the victory. Another theme that we've been talking about this weekend is the fact of how we can be faithful and how our faithfulness is beneficial. I started last weekend in Hebrews 11 looking at that word faith, because we do know that without faith it is impossible to please God. We want to remain faithful. And then I'm telling in this service, you better hold on tight. Hold on tight because we are under spiritual attack. Don't get comfortable in Zion. Do not get weary in well-doing. Doing well, and then as James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, you start the habit, but you do not want to allow the habit to break. There needs to be the consistency. You want to start it, but you want to finish it. There are athletic persons in the room, like Brother Jimmy and others, who know that if you want to do something, you have to continue it on a regular basis. That's what Clear talks about. It's okay to miss one day, but he says, don't miss the second day. You want to jump back in if you have started something that is positive. You better hold on tight. You better hold on to your faith like you hold on to your phone. Matter of fact, if you lose a phone, you come back, try to find it. I'm pushing our congregation to read your Bibles, bring your Bibles, underline in your Bibles, make notes in your Bibles, bring a journal to church. Come like you're planning to learn something. Plan that you're learning to gain something. There have been too many people who've come to church over the year and go away, and they talk about the church, the pastor sure was good. The singing sure was good. What was the sermon? I don't remember, but it just felt good. We need to hold on tight. You better do that. Because you do not know, because you are holding on, quite honestly, to your life. I'm holding on to life. I'm holding on to life. Matter of fact, that many times when persons will get sick, and sometimes they will be so sick that they will say, how are they doing? They say they're holding on. That sense of not letting go. Some persons have been to death's door, but they were not ready to let go. My late father, even in his latter days, and I want to thank my cousin all the way in Austin, Texas, who was watching in worship, and the doctor, Jeffrey, had said that he should have checked out sooner, but he was holding on. I'm simply saying to somebody who's out there today, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I need for you to hold on tight. Hold on tight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. But I'm holding on to, I'm holding on to my hope, holding on to my faith. Those old South Carolina deacons would start rocking at the end of the sermon, and then they would start tuning up with the preacher. Matter of fact, you remember, Dr. Warner, the organs now can tune it up, but back in the day, those old deacons would start tuning up. And matter of fact, some of them would yell out, and they would say, hold on to your hope. You've got to hold on today, my brothers and sisters. And the reason why you need to hold on tight, and there are three things we're going to look at in this message today. Number one, shifting one's focus to the wrong thing can lead to losing one's grip. If my focus has shifted, then my grip can be loosened. Matter of fact, many of you know that because of a person running into my automobile, I've had to go through rental vehicles and the like. And the vehicle that I'm riding now, there is a reminder in it if you drift out of the lane. Some of you have that because I didn't know about that, Reb McNeil, but some of you with those fancy vehicles, when you drift away, and some of you, because you get comfortable in driving, many of you will start driving with one hand. You'll start driving with one hand. Matter of fact, my late cousin, he showed us how you could drive with no hands. And I'm not suggesting that today. But he said he would drive. He would put his knee up, and his knee would be the thing that would balance. But in the vehicle that I'm driving this week, it can tell when you have gone to driving with one hand. In other words, it will try to reposition you. And sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in you. He is trying to reposition you. You thought it was an urge or a nudge, and you didn't know where the urge or nudge came from. But I want to define for you today that urge or nudge has come from the Holy Spirit. You better hold on tight. Because that's why some of you have drifted away from church, and I don't know if you're in that virtual space today, but wherever you are, you need to make sure that you have your focus in the right place. The second thing that we're going to look at in this time we spend together is be willing to stand by yourself if you have to. If I have to stand alone, I'm standing alone. But as you need to know, that even though it might seem and appear that you are alone, you need to know, like the song says, never alone. How do you know I'm never alone? Never alone because the Spirit is alive. Never alone because God is not dead. Never alone because the tomb is empty. Never alone, because when Jesus left here, he said, I'm leaving you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hold on tight. Holding on tight. You started out good. Thank God for the start. But it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. In the last couple of weeks, we saw the Olympic Games. And the Olympic Games had many stories of drama and excitement. But one thing that happens in when they get to track and field, that if you have a false start, you are eliminated. In one instance, a person has a false start, but they appeal, and their appeal allows them to get another chance. What I'm simply saying to somebody in here right now, you might have gotten off track, but I need for you to make an appeal to God, and the appeal to God, I need another chance. Because we serve a God, guess what, of another chance. And I'm thanking God that, somebody said I messed up a whole lot, but I thank God we got a God who's got a whole lot of love for us, and he says to you, no matter what you've done, no matter how low you've gone, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So be willing to stand by yourself, number two. The third thing is, being with the Lord leads to success. Now, somebody could say, you could try to come at me, argue with me about that point, and talk about, well, do I really need Jesus to be successful? Well, on the surface, you could be successful. You could make money. You could buy stuff, but you could still be miserable. I need to have a witness in here. There's a whole lot of people who look successful, they live successful, but they have confusion. I don't have to drop names today. All you've got to do is look at the news tonight. Look at the celebrities tonight. Look at some of these high-powered personalities, and you will realize the importance of having Christ in our lives. You better hold on tight. And I thank God that we are here today because we are positioning ourselves for success. That's why we're gonna pray for those children a little bit later. That's why we're gonna pray for some of our college students as we get ready to launch into this school year. We are praying for success. Let me back it up. Let's unpack it, and then we can get on with our day. First number point. First point, shifting one's focus to the wrong thing can lead to one's losing one's grip. I don't want to shift my focus. I want to focus on God. I want God to get the most out of me. I want God to draw the best out of me. I want to live my life, and I want to be able to realize that I can look ordinary in the sight of people, but be extraordinary because of the touch of God. The touch of God makes me extraordinary. There's some folk waving at me in the Bible right now. They say, Reverend, why don't you call my name? I was ordinary, but I became extraordinary. There was a woman who had an issue of blood, but she touched the hem of his garment. She was ordinary, but she comes extraordinary. There's a woman at the well who goes there with an empty bucket, and she leaves the bucket there. She was ordinary, but she comes out extraordinary. There was a man who was on a mat, but they bring him there, drop him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus is able to touch him, and he's able to throw the mat over his shoulder. He was ordinary, but God makes him extraordinary. You can fill in the blank out there today where you have had an ordinary life, but God can make you extraordinary through Jesus. You better hold on tight. That's what I started out. I started out this weekend talking about holding on tight because I was talking about how to this summer season is amusement park season, Braylon. It's the season where you want to get on roller coasters and rides, and you want to get your grandmother to get you out and do things. You don't want to just stay home, but you want to. But many times when you get out there, hold on tight. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. That's a part of the message we share in the 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 4, ends up laying out he removed the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars. Hezekiah, read the entire chapter of chapter 18, Coco, and he cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses has made. Moses had been blessed by the serpent that God was able to utilize, but now they started to worship the serpent. They started to worship the creation instead of worshiping the creator. You need to know who is the author and the finisher of my faith. You need to know who is the one who has ignited me. You need to know that he is the one that the Bible said that every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't want anything to get in the way of my relationship with God. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars. He removed them. And then, my God, some things he removes from the place. Other things he smashes. Because sometimes some of you got some habits and you might have removed it, but you need to smash it. Come on, somebody. Some things you need to not just remove it, because if you just remove it, you can go get it when you want to get it. But if you smash it, it's no use. Come on, somebody. He cut poles. The Asherah pole was worship, Nate, but now the pole has been cut. He broke the serpent. And once something is broken, it's time for the garbage. Unless you got Gorilla Glue. Come on, somebody. Somebody knows something about Gorilla Glue. Gorilla Glue can bring some stuff back together, but I don't want to tell you that I got something better than Gorilla Glue. It's the Holy Spirit, because some of us have been broken, but God has put us back together again. Nobody knows what you have gone through in your life. Nobody knows the challenges that you have had to deal with, but God has been better than Gorilla Glue, that he's come into your life and put you back together again. And then when somebody looks at you, they do not understand what you have gone through. Matter of fact, you don't look like what you've been through. Folk have told you nothing. You won't do anything. So I was looking at Aretha Franklin movie the other day, and one of her ex-husbands said, "You're never gonna do anything. You're never gonna amount to anything." But oh, shooky now. You got to understand, it does not matter what other people say about you, but if God lays his hand, oh, I feel somebody about to give God some praise up in here, when you think of the goodness of Jesus and how God can meet you where you are. Hold on. Tight. Swing me right. Swing me left. Swing me back. Swing me down. But I'm holding on. The bronze serpent. Matter of fact, they started worshiping the bronze serpent that they end up naming the serpent. The serpent was not designated for a name. It was unnamed. But the people named the serpent because they got ready to start worshiping the serpent. All right, all right. You think that's something that's in the Old Testament? Let me bring it to you where you can get it. Some of you, you give your car a name. Come on, somebody. You start to name stuff. And some stuff that you got to understand that no name is above the name of God. I wish I had a witness here. You got to lift up God above everything. And I believe there's some witnesses here. When you put God first, God can line up everything else in your life. He removed the pagan shrines. Smashed the sacred pillars. Cut down the Asherah poles. Broke up the bronze serpent. Even though it had been in the hands of Moses. We're not minimizing how great Moses was. But what makes Moses great is God. Come on, somebody. What makes this church great is not me. It's not McCord. It's not Wyatt. But what makes this church great is God. It's not about me. It's about him. And we point people every day to the power of God. Somebody's here today. You've had a heart condition. You've had a cancer diagnosis. You've been put in the back, my God. But God can come in, shift the atmosphere. God can move in your life. God can do great things in your life. The second thing that I need you to get this, and write it down, underline it. Be willing to stand by yourself if you have to. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to be pressure. But you got to learn how to stand by yourself. Somebody needs to know when you stand by yourself, you're not really standing by yourself. You're standing, but you're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. My father used to like to say when he was living that now that when folk depart, they're now in the grandstands, but they're cheering us on. I was watching the Ravens game last night, and they talked to them after the game, and they said, how do you feel? They said, we feel real good because we're glad to have some fans in the stands. But I'm thanking God that we got fans in the stands. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I preached a whole lot of months with a mostly empty church, but I thank God for fans. I thank God for worshipers, for being in the house of God. Be willing to stand by yourself if you have to. You might not want to stand by yourself, but stand on the promises, not sit on the premises. Stand on the word of God. Stand. When other folk want to sit down, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will give God the praise. Is there anybody here on this wonderful day of worship and you don't mind giving God some praise? 2 Kings 18, verses 5 and 6. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. And that's what you got to do. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in your family. You could have a good family, a great family, but put your trust in the Lord. There's no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful. A whole lot of people start out, but they fall off. Used to come to church on the blue bus. Used to come to Sunday school. Used to sing in the junior choir. But what are you doing right now? Hold on. I can't get my meal on what was served yesterday.
or last week, but I get my meal or was served right now. Do I have a witness here? Hold on. Hold on tight. I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not give out. I will praise his name. Hezekiah obeyed not some commands, but Hezekiah obeyed all the commands. He didn't just take what he liked and leave what he didn't like. Some folks don't like broccoli, don't like Brussels sprouts, don't like greens. But I thank God that Hezekiah obeyed all the commands. Do I have some folk in here today who don't mind celebrating? I'm celebrating the whole Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Rebecca, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. I believe the whole Bible. Yeah. One more. But the third thing is, believing with the Lord leads to success. Being with the Lord leads to success. You're successful not because of what the world says, but I'm successful because I can feel I got peace that's beyond understanding. I can sleep at night. That's success. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Being with the Lord, it gives you joy, unspeakable joy. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change has come over my life. Verses 7 and 8, 2 Kings 18. So the Lord was with him. I can shut it down right there, Gladys. So the Lord was with him. If God be for you, somebody knows the Bible, he's more than the world against you. So the Lord was with him. Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the kings of Assyria. Didn't pay them any mind. Sometimes you got to pay Satan no mind. You're not going to rule me. You're not going to mess up my family. You got to mess up my faith. You're not going to mess up my finances. I'm paying you no mind. Talk to the hand. Do I have a witness? I'm paying you no mind. What does he do? He conquered the Philistines. If I go a little bit another place, Goliath was a Philistine. Here Hezekiah is, able to conquer Philistines. What do you need to conquer? What do you need to overcome? What do you need to rise above? Hold on. I'm through, y'all. And may the Lord bless you real good. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul got to cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You better, that's right, hold on.
Come on, clap your hands.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.
I'll run.